My guess is that there isn't a leadership book you could crack that would tell you the best marketing tactic for your business is to tell everybody your product is bad, really bad. But 5 years ago, Domino's Pizza did just that.
The sauce tastes like ketchup.
Pizza crust, to me, is like cardboard.
Worst excuse for pizza I've ever had.
The company kicked off an ad campaign it called the Domino's Pizza Turnaround. The media quickly gave it a different title, however. It was called the Our Pizza Sucks campaign. Domino's used the ad to unveil a new recipe, but it wasn't just one of zestier sauce and better cheese. It also included a new CEO and a new vision for the company. J. Patrick Doyle took over in the midst of Domino's bold move and in the midst of a recession as well. Since then, he has shifted Domino's, which, by the way, is the second biggest pizza chain in the world behind Pizza Hut. From the service industry, moved him into the tech industry is what he did. We flew out to Ann Arbor, Michigan to tour Domino's World Resource Center is what they call it, and to check out the test kitchen that changed everything.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
This is the conference room where we started the relaunch.
Wow.
Yep. That's. I still remember the meeting. I still remember everybody who was in the room.
Should bronze it somehow. Put a plaque up. So give me the nuts and bolts as we go.
All right.
How many restaurants, how many pizzas, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so we've got over 12,000 restaurants around the world today, a little over 5,000 of them in the U.S. and about 7,000 of them in 80 international countries around the world. And, you know, we sell about 1 million pizzas a day. So we're busy.
A day. That's like almost unfathomable. That's just an extraordinary number of pizzas.
It is. So this is actually where we train everybody.
Okay.
It is basically
a big open kitchen.
Big open kitchen in the middle of of our World Resource Center. Basically every other week we've got a training class here where we're training everybody who is kind of above store level on the basics of Domino's Pizza. So we set this up, run it as a store.
Above store level, that is management, right?
Everybody. If you're an accountant, you're in marketing, you're in technology, you're going to learn the basics, and you're going to learn how what you do day to day affects what's happening in the stores.
Actually, accountants come down here and do this?
They absolutely do. Yeah, and if somebody can't figure out how what they're doing affects the stores, then there's something going wrong.
Fair point.
That's what it's all about.
Tasting booths?
Yeah, so we actually bring consumers in the tasting booths. As you can see, how this is all set up. The consumer is on the other side.
Wow. Come
in, give them, this is where we do taste testing work.
So there's like a secret door here.
There's a secret door here.
The pizza slides through?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's like 15 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just come in here.
Bring the sensory panel in here.
And the cooks and the staff on the other side just slide a piece of Pacific Coach veggie through.
That's exactly right. And you get ratings on it. And we do it not only for new products, but we also do it if we're looking at, you know, a new cheese supplier or a new pepperoni supplier, that sort of thing. We'll see how they're matching kind of what it is that we're looking for in the ideal.
How big a negative score does it take for you guys to go, oh, yeah, no, that one didn't work?
If you're looking at like a new pepperoni,
right,
you won't accept any. It has to be an identical match to what we've kind of designed as the perfect pepperoni. Or green pepper, or whatever it may be. And so, no, you're looking for an identical match. So you get kind of two different things that will happen here. One is kind of the new products, but then the other is kind of ingredient development, topping development, that sort of thing.
If I'm a consumer and I come in here and sit down for one of these, how much pizza do I get, like in total? Do I get a whole pie? How much do I get?
Depends on the day, but, yeah, they're probably leaving reasonably full.
All right, okay. Well, I just want to make sure it's worth their while, right?
So down here is where the magic happens. So got a little dough kitchen.
There's a dough
going on
kitchen
back in here, exactly. But here's where the team is.
Wow.
So this is the magic. How you doing? So the magic all happens in here. So every new product gets tested here. All the new ideas that come through, all those sorts of things happen here in the test kitchen.
Do you get final sign off on new pizzas?
I get final sign-off, but I am not a believer in kind of the magic taste bud. It's, you know, it's because I'm looking at the numbers that have come to me. Yes, I try it, and you know, it's yeah. it's a good thing if I think it's terrific, but that has ultimately nothing to do with whether it's approved or not. Right. It gets approved based on how consumers have felt about it, how it works in the stores, you know, how much of it we think we're going to sell.
Right. So Patrick, let's sit here and talk for just a second.
Yeah.
Not so long ago, you guys kind of realized that you had some problems.
We did.
Tell me about the big ad campaign that the media dubbed "Our pizza is really not very good."
Right.
But they used a tougher word.
they may have been even more blunt than that on it. Yeah. It's exactly right.
I mean, you knew you had a problem.
We didn't. We knew we had a problem. We had. You know, this was the company that had built the brand, the whole business around kind of fast delivery and reliable delivery. And marketing 101 says you focus on your point of differentiation. So we kept talking about delivery and
30 minutes or less.
30
right?
minutes I mean, or less back in the day, exactly. And so you know, we were kind of following the marketing basic idea of focus on that right. differentiation, and it just stopped working. We realized that everybody in the world who wanted fast, convenient pizza was already buying from us.
Yeah.
And the people who wanted a great pie simply were not. And so, you know, we started looking at all the research, all the input that we've been getting from consumers.
Right.
And there was a meeting in the conference room right over there that we just walked by that I still remember getting everybody into the room and saying, you know, folks, we got to make a change. We've got to do something different. Let's start from scratch. And it all happened in this room right here.
How do you do that, though? How do you come to the point where you go out with an ad campaign where you, as a guy running a business that's largely franchisees, right?
Right.
You go out and you say, you know what? Our product sucks and we're going to fix it. Okay, yeah. There I said the word. You know? How did that go?
Yeah, in fact, you mentioned the franchisees. When I look back on the whole process, the end of the day, the biggest act of bravery, of courage, really, was our franchisees saying, yeah, we're in. Because, you know, we're this big company here in Ann Arbor, right. but our franchisees are the core of our business. They're paying their mortgages, feeding their families, putting a roof over their family's head. You know, it's their business that ultimately we have to worry about. And they're the ones that at the end of the day, we're taking the biggest risk on this. And they were completely supportive. They were all proud of what we do here. And they all liked the pizza, but they said, you know what? I get the comment all the time. Frankly, I'm sick of hearing it. If we can fix that, I'll do it. And we did that in the middle of the recession.
Right.
And we increased food costs.
Right. Yeah. So let me ask you about that, though, because it's not like you can just add some salt and a little bit of extra tomato paste to your sauce and fix things. You
no,
had to tear
exactly
it down.
Right.
It's like designing a whole new car to pick another Detroit industry.
It's exactly right. In fact, yeah, we started from scratch. We got everybody in the room and said, look, here's the new standard. We want a pizza that tastes better than any of our national competitors. Nothing is off the table. Start from scratch. The dough, the sauce, the cheese, the toppings, you can look at everything, you can change everything. Let's start by getting a new gold standard, and then we'll figure out, you know, kind of how to bring the whole thing together. So you start by kind of optimizing each of the ingredients. So let's have the best dough, let's have the best sauce, let's have the best cheese. And then interestingly, the best of each of those to the consumer put together does not actually necessarily equal the best pie. So you've got to put them together. It's how the flavors balance out. So then you start going through some of the panels that you were just seeing where consumers are trying the different combinations, and ultimately you pick the winner out of there.
And the bet was increased food costs are going to be recouped by
higher volume.
Sales.
By higher volume. Sales. That's exactly right.
Paid off?
Happily, it did.
Like a lot.
Like a lot, yeah. I mean, our sales, that first quarter we relaunched, were up 14.3%. We were up 9.9% for the year. And I will tell you, if I had known we were 9.9% and not 10.0% on December 31st, I would have bought some pizzas myself.
Do you ever wish that you had done the Our Pizza Sucks campaign earlier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, in hindsight, you know, if we had gotten the food right earlier, we certainly would have had more and better success earlier on.
How closely do you, as the guy running the company, monitor stuff like maybe not individual restaurant sales, but individual franchisee group sales and stuff like that? I mean, how closely do you get down in the weeds?
Extremely closely. I can tell you right now how we have 900 franchisees in the U.S. Over 90% of them started as hourly workers in our stores and worked their way up through the system. They are my friends. I know the vast majority of them well. I care about how they're doing. I could tell you right now how almost every franchisee in the U.S. is doing. I can tell you what their numbers are, how many stores they own, where they are. I worry about their profitability. I see the quarterly P&Ls that come in from them. At the end of the day, if our franchisees are prospering, we're going to do great here in Ann Arbor. We don't spend any time, frankly, worrying about Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor takes care of itself. The stores being successful is ultimately what drives the success of the business.
Talk to me for a second about the product cycle, right? And how you brainstorm them, prototype them, and then roll them out.
Yeah.
Are you doing it constantly?
We are doing it constantly. And the brainstorming part of it is they come from everywhere. They come from consumers. They come from, you know, comments that they're making, you know, online, or they call in and say, hey, why aren't you guys offering this? So we'll take it from there, and you'll start to see themes around those. A lot of them come out of our stores. So a lot of our people in the stores, they may be listening to consumers, but a lot of them are just kind of into it, and they'll start playing around at the end of a shift and trying something new and different with the ingredients that are in the store.
Do ideas from stores have to come up here to get the good housekeeping seal of approval?
So then the ideas from the stores will come in here. We've got different ways that we kind of collect those ideas. We'll send them out to consumer panels then. And kind of get a first take. Is this a high-level interest idea or not? If it is, then the team here will start playing around with it, seeing if there's a way, can you make it? You know, can you do it, you know, in the ovens that we have today? Largely everything we make goes through the same oven for the same time at the same temperature. So
that's an operating requirement.
You know, I mean, it is. It's a big operating requirement. Yeah. So, you know, you look at a lot of different restaurants. You look at McDonald's, for instance, and, you know, they've got 8-10 different cooking platforms in their store.
Yeah.
We have one. We have an oven. And so everything we make, we've got to be able to make well through that oven.
Keeps it simple but complicates it, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It makes it a little harder on the front end to get the products right. But that's also what makes our stores so efficient, is that we do have fundamentally just one cooking platform in the store.
I will confess that I have not had a Domino's pizza since I got out of college.
All right.
Because all I wanted then was something to fill me up, and I would actually on a Saturday night, you know, like I have an entire small by myself, and it was in my at my door in 25 minutes.
We could solve that here today. It's all that here today, and I promise you won't eat any other pizza after.
Well, but here's the thing. I've got a nice little pizza joint in my town,
right?
And I'm going to go there because it's local, small guy, entrepreneur,
right,
and not giant corporation.
Right.
How do you get people like me to say, oh, maybe I'll give Domino's another try?
Yeah, so the first thing is local, small guy owner is our franchisee. You know, so we just need to introduce you to the franchisee in your market, and you're going to have that same connection. And you know, it's interesting. The pizza industry in the U.S. and around the world is still dominated by the small players. They have the biggest market share.
Well, yeah, but you sell 10% of all the pizzas made in this country.
No, that's right. That's right. But if you look at burgers or Mexican or chicken, the big chains have the vast majority of the sales. You look at pizza, it's still the local players. Partly that's because, frankly, a pizza restaurant is not that expensive to build. Versus, you know, a lot of those restaurants and different categories of restaurants. But, you know, what we see is in almost every market, there is one or two local players who are really good. If it's a big city, they're going to be more than that. There are a lot of local players that aren't great. And, you know, and that's frankly where we take share, is from the players that, yes, they're there, and they may be involved in the community, but our franchisee is going to be even more involved in the community. And frankly, we've got a better pie, and it's better service and better value and digital ordering and all those sorts of things. But usually there is that one or two local players in Ann Arbor. We have them, you know, a couple of them that do a terrific job, and they know their customers. And it's that local connection that you also get with a franchisee. That's how we effectively compete with them.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? Do you open the laptop or your iPad and you check franchise sales?
Yeah, I numbers drop at 8 a.m. every morning, and I'll tell you, if I'm not in the office, my hands start shaking at about 7:45. You know, it's like a fix for me in the morning. That's my report card. I know how we did yesterday.
Remind me, what's the number of restaurants in the States?
Like, it's a little over 5,000 in the U.S. Yeah.
Growth is slowing inside this country, right?
Right.
Where are you going to go?
So 95% of the population of the world lives outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, about 7,000 outside of the U.S. There is lots of room to grow outside of the U.S., but there's still room in the U.S. We think we can get another 1,000 stores in the U.S. And as big as we are, as you said, you know, before, we're only selling maybe 1 in 8 pizzas in the U.S. There's a lot of room for us to grow in the U.S.
You say that like that's nothing. 1 in 8 pizzas. I mean, that's a staggering number.
Right?
It's a staggering number. Where do you like? India, China, South America? What do you like?
So we are quickly approaching 1,000 restaurants in India. That is now, by store count, our biggest market outside of the U.S. There are over 1 billion people in India. So a lot of room to grow in India. The U.K. is a big market for us. China, we're still relatively small, but it's starting to move. We're in Russia. We're in Brazil. Ultimately, everybody likes pizza. And so if you look at population centers, we're in Nigeria. We've had great success there. You know, 160, 170 million people in Nigeria. So, you know, we think there's a big opportunity in an awful lot of places.
How do you guys figure out what's going to sell in Bombay or you know, in Shanghai, right? I mean, because here in Ann Arbor, what do we know?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. Here in Ann Arbor, what do we know? The answer is those decisions are made locally.
Really?
So we control quality here. We've got to approve the suppliers that they're going to use. But in terms of the taste, the new pizza topping that's going to come out in Mumbai, people in Ann Arbor are going to be fascinated by what they're doing there. But we've got a separate group that works with our master franchisee in India, and they have all of the stores in India. They've got their own marketing team. They come up with the new product launches there. We make sure that the quality is right. But they're the ones who are coming up with the ideas because they've got their finger on the pulse of the consumer in Mumbai.
Is there such a thing as too big in your mind? Is that possible?
Boy, you know, too big for us right now is not within range of anything
really?
I have to worry about.
Because you look at Starbucks, right? I mean, I had a conversation with Howard Schultz.
Right.
And he was like, we're going to grow and we're going to open a gazillion restaurants. 18 months later, they're pulling back and they're closing places.
Right.
That's not in your worry set?
No, and, you know, Howard has more restaurants today in the U.S. than he did before that pullback.
Well, there is a Starbucks everywhere. That's true.
And so, no, I really don't. And we've got, you know, defined delivery areas for our stores. We really know pretty much exactly how many stores we can still build. And again, you go back to the international side, there is growth opportunity for us there for a very long time.
On the culture question, you guys have a cheer?
We do.
You have to do it for me now. It's like it's a requirement of radio.
Yeah, it needs a lot of people to do it right.
It really does.
Cop out. And it's kind of a back and forth
thing.
It's
a little call and response.
Unless we taught it to you.
I'm not doing it. All right. Well, that won't work. Biggest headwind for you right now. What's your biggest problem?
Oh, boy, you know, we're doing awfully well right now. We've had a lot of... We've had a lot of sales growth. I worry, as 50% of our sales now are digital, I worry about cybersecurity. You know, are people going to hack us? Those sorts of things. So I think any CEO who is not paranoid about that right now is just not spending enough time worrying about it. You know, you always worry about food safety when you're in, you know, 80 plus countries and, you know, in 12,000 restaurants, you're always worrying about, you know, are we making sure that we've got the right food, the right ingredients? Is it getting cooked properly? You know, all of the quality issues. And when you get as large as we are and you're as many markets, you know, you worry about that more. You make sure you've got the right people on it, but you can't control everything.
Excellent. Now let's go see Ted.
All right.
Innovation is everybody's job.
It is, particularly in technology. This is kind of the core of what we do
technology.
Here now.
Wow, this is big.
It is big. So we've got.
I would not have expected a pizza company to have this big a tech operation.
So we employ about 700 people here in Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. and about 300 of them are in technology.
That's wild. That's wow.
So, but yeah, this is a real nerve center yep. for us now. We're doing, you know, between 9 and 10 billion in retail sales around yep. the world this year.
Yep.
And, you know, about half of it is coming in digitally. So this That's is amazing. The group that makes it work. That's and remarkable. Is constantly coming up with the new ideas.
Yeah.
Which is the most fun part.
Right. Well, I'm all about the pizza emoji. I think that's awesome. God, look at that.
Yeah, it goes on and on.
Oh, so what's on the big board? Is this tracking sales?
So we're tracking, yeah, exactly. We're tracking, you know, how how we're doing, frankly, everywhere. See, you got your P2P circuit utilization.
Yes, of course you do.
You know, megabits per second.
Sure.
So, yeah, you got everything.
Got all that stuff. Jesus. VAHC, internet utilization, whatever. Yeah. I can't even.
We believe by transaction counts that we are in the top five of e-commerce companies in the world. We know we're behind Apple and Amazon, but we may be as high as third.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're a big technology company.
One last question, though. Two of the top five pizza companies in the world, you guys and Little Caesars, are based in Michigan. So how come Detroit gets no love when it comes to pizza prominence?
It should. There are actually, I think, 8 pizza chains headquartered within 75 miles of where we're standing right now. And this has clearly been the home of pizza. We've had more success selling pizza at everybody else. So,
and Chicago, you know, reputation, gets all the love.
Chicago gets the love. New York gets the love. We're certainly doing a better job selling more of it than any of them.
There it is, this month's edition of Corner Office in 30 minutes or less. We've got lots of pictures, some video as well, even a story about what happened to Domino's old mascot, the Noid, at our website. It's marketplace.org. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm Kai Ryssdal, and we will see you next time, everybody.
Toss a pizza, roll a pizza up and all around the pizza bar. Look at it fly. Toss a pizza, roll a pizza up and all around the pizza boy. Oh, what a guy. They love him so when he flips that dough. He's Pizza Boy USA.